is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I still love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I still, if you can believe it, despise Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I'm clinging to what's left of Hallmark Christmas movies with both hands, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Oh boy, yeah. The last. And guys, we got the emails. Freaking relax. Right.
I hear one more message asking if we're going to review Every Time a Bell Rings, so help me. This is at Danny's adopted level.
It is
very
and
high.
And ironically, in this movie.
Yeah.
Danny might be adopted, guys. Yeah. I think that might be happening. We are once again panelists today, but once again, coming in clutch, a DTH a member in his own right.
That's right.
Alonzo. How are you, Alonzo?
Hello. It's January. That's right. But, you know, we carry on nonetheless.
We do. We no longer have the Christmas set.
That's
but
right.
We have one Christmas movie left to review, and it's this one.
That's exactly right. Now, I think this is a good time, Alonzo, to let everybody know that you and I will be keeping on the Christmas spirit all year, starting on Monday with a new type of thing we're trying. You and I. It's just you and me. Dan, you're not welcome.
I'm not welcome.
It's called the 25 Weeks of Christmas Movies, and we're doing real movies. You're going to take me to school, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's going to be we're going to have recommendations for each other, so I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to be digging more in the older material. It's Before You Were Born, which is frankly most of cinema.
That's right.
And then you're going to be bringing me into either films that I haven't gotten around to from recent years, or ones that I'm maybe not crazy about, and you're going to try and convince me otherwise.
That's right. Yeah, if you think I'm not using this opportunity to make you sit through the Polar Express again. Buckle up, pal. It's coming. No,
you said I wasn't welcome. I'm not asking.
the second you brought up this whole idea, I was like, there's going to be a Polar Express in my future, and I'm just going to suck up and deal with it.
That's exactly right.
I'm excited about doing it. Yet another Bramble Jam show that will never make it to the door of your office.
Well, I don't know. The door happened once. But this is part of Deck the Hallmark. So
it is. It's on the Deck the Hallmark feed.
So technically, technically it is. It's just an offspring.
A lot of shows didn't make it to the door of our office, to be fair. Yeah. We kept saying we were gonna, though.
Yeah.
A new network, you gotta try things. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas, Yo Gabble Gabble made it. History or His Story made it. Fostering Hope made it. My Year with Dolly made it. And Deck the Hallmark. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Bramble Jam didn't make it.
Man, those 2 weeks.
You can believe it.
What's going on with the bubble?
The NBA bubble.
So anyways, very, very excited. Alonzo's up first on Monday, and you're going to let me know what I have to watch from before 1992.
And then after that, next week, much to the chagrin of most all of us, we're resuming When Calls the Heart.
Yeah. Resuming When Calls the Heart. When Calls the Heart Thursdays, we'll be back and better than ever.
Yeah.
And Fridays, we will be diving into the world of Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
A lot of people nervous about us being...
This is a very sacred thing for a lot of people that I didn't know about.
Yeah, When Calls the Heart is more like, if you don't like us, then you can kick rocks. Mm-hmm. And Signed, Sealed, Delivered, like... You really better like this show, or else you're going straight to hell.
Like Signed, Sealed, Delivered. The amount of people that have said, "Like Dan, I think you might. Oh, I think you might with this." Have you ever signed, sealed, or delivered?
I started watching the Christmas movie and very quickly realized, this is like chapter 18. Yeah. And I don't know who these people are or why I should care. So I kind of stopped. And from everything I've heard since then, no, you have to go to the beginning and you have to work through the series and then the movies and then this. And I was like,
no.
Yeah, pass. But y'all are doing it, so that'll be great. That'll be my vicarious way.
You can borrow our Hallmark Movies Now log, and if you want to follow along, Alonzo.
I think most people are somehow overestimating the amount that I like things like Touched by an Angel, because that's how I understand. Now, Della Reese is a saint. I want to be very clear, but I My opinion of what Sign, Seal, Deliver is, I know nothing, is that it's basically Touched by an Angel. So maybe I'm wrong about that and all the postables.
It was the mail, I think.
Yeah. They mail an angel. Mailed by an angel is what it's called. There
you go. Touched by an angel. Don't sleep on it.
I'm pretty sure somebody that worked on that show worked on Sign, Seal, Delivered. Like, seriously. Like, I'm not making that up. I'm pretty sure there's
quite possibly
some connection there. Not like Roma Downey or Mark Burnett, but somebody.
Yeah. Is this a Touched by an Angel episode? Are you ready?
Here we go.
Are you ready? It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah.
The host of a talk show finds her marriage in danger after a dispute with her husband that is caused by a decision that she made 15 years earlier.
It is a Touched by an Angel episode.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
I that was a very... That's a mess of a sentence, but Touched by an Angel.
Yeah.
Man, I missed taking the day off.
Yeah, you know how you make that game actually mean something? Read a plot of a different show occasionally.
I don't tell you.
Like, either you're making it up and you're like, Janny is on the farm, and or you're reading Touched by an Angel. Like, read a Boy Meets World episode and change their names while you're reading it.
Like, I don't know. Why are you getting all mad at me about it?
I'm just saying, make it fun.
All right.
Throwing a highway to heaven just to see if anyone paying attention.
Michael Landon, see if anybody catches.
Is this a Touched by an Angel episode?
Yeah.
Henry uses horse racing results from the newspaper sports section to help his estranged father win big at the track.
That is an Everybody Loves Raymond
episode. No, it's early edition.
Early edition.
Don't you dare.
Early edition.
Yeah. That's early edition, baby. All right. Every time a bell rings, is everybody ready to go?
I couldn't be more ready. Although I'm hearing from Instagram, Twitter, and email that we need to do this at some point. So can we get on?
I'm sorry, everybody. We're doing it now. Oh, and by the way, our big recap episode where we rank things was supposed to come out today for everybody on Brimble Jam Plus. That's being pushed because Panda's not here to do it. So
yeah, so we'll get it out there.
Eventually. We'll get it. We'll recap
but that
it.
That does mean in my hot take, I'm not going to tell you where I put this episode. We got to save something, right?
Sure. But before season five.
5,000 by season five.
we'll get to it. All right, are we ready to go? Every time a bell rang, originally aired on Hallmark movies.
Every time a bell rang.
Whatever. It rang, it rings, it's doing all the things. It originally aired on Hallmark Movies Now.
Okay.
On
it's a big time.
November 18th, I believe, and it went a little something like this. The movie kicks off with three little girls doing a Christmas scavenger hunt, and the girls finally find the wishing bell, and they bring it to their parents, and their dad tells them the story of the wishing bell, and the girls each make a wish.
This is the story of a bell.
Where you wish and then you ring it. And it looks so good and wooden, yeah.
Absolutely love it.
When it rings. Dies.
What?
What did you say? When dad dies?
When dad dies.
Fast forward to present day, and we find out that their dad has passed away, and all the girls are coming home for the first time since then, and they don't really get along, or they haven't talked a bunch. I don't know. Nora works now at the wood shop, her parents' shop. Emily is an overworking entrepreneur who's always on her phone. And Charlotte, good Charlotte, helps build houses around the world or something. I don't know. We find out that the girls were all adopted, and Danny as well. Yep. And Charlotte wants to find out about her birth parents. What happened? She meets up with the old family friend and hunk. His name is Liam, and he has a lot to do in this movie. They find the box that the bell is stored in, and they're like, let's make a wish on it one more time for dad. They open it up, and it's missing, but there's a final scavenger hunt that dad planned before he passed, and it says, hey, you gotta do this together. Go on your way. And so they're doing the scavenger hunt things over a handful of days. And Nora meets a girl that she kind of likes and goes on some date stuff. And Charlotte starts making eyes with Liam. They end up going to a drive-in Christmas light show, and they kiss. So things are happening. You might be wondering, though, what's going on with Emily? Her husband wants to have a baby. She does not really want that. She's a hotshot deal maker business girl.
Yeah.
And to make the matters worse, she doesn't know how to tell her husband that. And also, mom not helping made her by hand a crib with wood. That's tough. Charlotte gets the number for her birth mom, gives her a call, says, hey, let's meet up. And she's walking out the door, and she tells her sisters and her mom, hey, I got to go to get some money for the nonprofit, liar. And so she goes, she meets the mom, and it's a great, great conversation. And she invites Charlotte to spend Christmas Day with her and her friends. And she's like, that sounds wonderful, type of thing. She's having a tough time with the fact, though, that she lied to her family. And she tells Liam about this. And Liam is right, like, you should probably tell the truth. And surprisingly enough, she gets really upset about the idea of telling the truth. It's wild out there. They've finally figure out the final scavenger hunt clue when they go to get the bell from a tree. And they pull it down and they open it up, and in the process she gets a phone call, and it says on the caller ID, mom. It doesn't say mom, it says the mom's name.
Janice.
They're like, who's Janice? And she's like, it's no one. And then finally they do not let this go. They're like, who is Janice? And so finally she's like, it's my mom. And also I lied. And they get very upset about this, but they come back together and they all kind of admit that they're not very good sisters and they're sorry to one another. And they go and they spend some time together. They spend some time together, and Liam is there, and mom made some sort of a new wooden thing, and we're all excited about it. And they're all together singing Christmas things. And that, my friends, was
Every time a bell rings.
We did
exactly
it.
Right. That's exactly right.
We did it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll break this movie down with four segments. I'm thinking we'll start with a hot take.
Ooh, that's bold.
We'll see what we can do.
You're same us.
That's exactly right here on Doug Dahmer. We're back.
Yeah.
We're talking Every Time a Bell Rings, the movie that Hallmark slid onto Hallmark Movies and Now.
Hallmark Movies and Now.
Hallmark Movies and Now.
And then they were like,
we made a mistake. We should call Hallmark Movies, but when?
And now. thank you.
You're welcome.
So let's break this movie
Every
down.
Time a Bell Rang on Hallmark Movies and Now. You're just making up fake crap. You want to watch Every Time a Bell Rang on Hallmark Movies and Now?
Let's start with the hot take. Let's start with you, Alonzo. Alonzo, what'd you think of Every Time a Bell Rang?
You know, look, obviously I'm here as your homosexuality correspondent, and I'm perfectly happy to be
here.
Hey, there.
I just want to that's not true.
Wait a minute.
That is not true.
Wait a minute.
You weren't even supposed to be here in the first place.
That's true.
And I think that's a last minute fill-in.
That's exactly right.
And also, that's Justin Kirkland.
Yeah, yeah.
He and I have to duke it out.
Yeah, Justin said no.
The Lifetime guy had other things going on. Yeah, I know where I fall in the list. It's fine. No. So that bit of inclusion I thought was lovely. This movie, I think, is kind of stealthily doing a lot of things that we give Hallmark movies a hard time about in a smarter way. I mean, it also does some stuff that's, we'll get into the way what's, but like, this might be the first, you know, Hallmark movie of the last, like, you know, 8 years or so to not have fake snow everywhere.
No snow.
They're like, yep. We're in Natchez, Mississippi, and it's not snowing on Christmas. Unlike Christmas in Carolina or Christmas at Graceland, we're not going to do the fake snow. So that was nice. I liked the, and they dropped some balls here too, but the complexity of the adopted sister relationship and their relationship with their parents and what their growing up together was like. And I liked the sort of non-issue of, hey, one of us isn't white, and you know, and also has a non-white husband, you know, and that was just sort of taken as read, and we didn't have to like make a big thing about that. So I thought, you know, that was all nicely handled. you know, it's kind of corny, but I think it does more right than wrong. There's a lot that I liked here.
I loved this movie. I thought it was an absolute delight across the board, really. I had a lot of fun. Maybe it was because I was sad and I wanted a little Christmas. I watched it.
I need a little Christmas right now.
And so it gave me that. But it also, like, to Alonzo's point, I noticed that there was no snow. And part of me was like, I wish it was snowing. But the other part of me was like, no, this is right and good.
It is right and good.
It's the South.
Yes.
It's the South. They were still wearing jackets.
I was watching this movie. It felt hot. Like, they were clearly filming it down there, and it just felt hot. It did not feel like they needed jackets on at all.
And your shot's real sad without Panda there.
It is. Hey,
a lot of scarves on the outside of lapels, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought all three sisters were really great. I liked them together and I liked them separate, and they all had things to do. And I felt like each sister had their own storyline that mattered and that I cared about. And they had relationships with people, and I cared about each of those relationships. And so I really, really liked this movie. Like, I, you know, when it came out that it was going to be originally on Hallmark Movies Now before they snuck it on actual TV, I was like, that's interesting, because you got some bigger yeah. Hallmark names on here.
Yeah.
And you also have one heck of a story. So I don't know if it's a situation where Hallmark got the final copy, and they're like, oh, wow, we have, like, a good movie. Like, what do we do? I don't know why this movie was just going to end up on Hallmark Movies Now.
It is a departure from of just about everything Hallmark Christmas movies do. Like, yeah. And I think that was why they put it out there. It was because we'll slide this on to Hallmark Movies and now. And then we'll throw it on at like 4 p.m. on a Wednesday. And if people hate it, then we don't have to take the heat for it. And if they love it, then it's a win. Like, I think we'll hedge our bets
and premiere it on a Sunday night. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
What'd you think?
I appreciated this movie a lot more than I enjoyed it. I appreciated the complexity across the board, the acknowledgement and understanding of trauma that takes place during adoption and working their way through that. The inclusivity of the entire cast, really, from a race standpoint. We have a same-sex couple, a lot of great things going on here, but it feels very overstuffed to me. And also, every character just always responds in the nicest, most perfect way all the time. Like, no, like in Mrs. Miracle, like, when he lies about putting them back on the foster list, they have to literally stay in separate houses for a night over that.
Sure.
In this movie, so many people do things that unrip some serious traumatic scars. And aside from one guy taking a walk one time, like, everybody is just 10 of 10 kind. And it's nice to see, but it just felt very overstuffed and very unrealistic. But you know what? They made a movie in Natchez, Mississippi. It clearly hit home. There's some emotional scenes in it. They include quite a bit of diversity in what they're doing and the stories they're telling. And so, commend Hallmark, appreciate the performances, appreciate what they tried to do. It just didn't work across the board for me like I was hoping that it would.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's get to all the feels. Why should we talk about what gave us feels? Alonzo?
Well, for sure, Dee Wallace feels.
She's
great. Come on. I mean, it's just like, so the delight she has in the children being home, her daughters being all together again, and the sort of heft that she gives it all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like, she's such a pro, and I would love to see her in more of these, because she's dynamite. And I have to say, scavenger hunt feels, because so often with these movies, they'll read the clue and you're like, oh, it's the snowman, or, you know, it's in the tree. And these were kind of complicated, and like, there were options of several things it could be. And like, you had to kind of follow along, and, you know, it wasn't like The Last of Sheila, but it was still like, you know, there was some effort being put into like making it not super obvious. And that the you believe that the people doing the hunt had to think about these clues and parse them out and solve them. So that I thought was really great, because very, very often they would drop the ball on that particular thing in these movies.
I got like siblings that kind of suck feels. So let me explain. I appreciated that these three sisters were close, and that when they get together, they have a wonderful time. but they also aren't very close in that they haven't talked.
It was real. That was, it was very, very realistic.
I come from a large family. I have three brothers, and the four of us are getting together, just us as brothers, for the first time since I got married. Was the last time. We're getting together in a few weeks, and I'm very excited about it. But it's just true. When you they're a big family, and it's hard to get everybody in the same room. Yeah. But when you get together, you still feel like family, and it felt very authentic. And so I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I just remembered one other thing real quick. I love the fact that this movie, the other thing that this movie does that I think really flies in the face of a lot of what Hallmark does is that so often the unspoken thing in this movie is, well, of course you want to be married.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's, well, of course you want children. So the fact that you have a lead character here who's like, you know what? No, not for me, not feeling it, don't want to do it. And the movie is okay with that by the end, that it's the husband and the mom who have to kind of get on board with her not wanting to have kids, as opposed to her buckling down and be like, okay, I'll have kids. That'll fulfill me. That's a big step for Hallmark. I don't think we would have ever seen that plot in the last 5 years.
That is such a huge step. It could have been the central crisis. That and six other things could have been the central crisis of this 83-minute movie that includes a scavenger hunt. And it just and so instead we get like three scenes and it's like, this was cool, but we got to move. We got things to do. There's a biological birth parent over here, and we're lying to our sisters about that. And there's a lot going on. I did have my favorite scene in this movie is when the three girls read the thing from their dad. They think is from their dad that basically says, "You always have all been my daughters, and I've always loved you no matter what you've done." Like, that scene resonated with me very strongly. And it's the shot that they use is just a shot of the three of their faces as they're hearing those words. And that really, like, as someone who, like, you know, wants my kids to know daily, like, it's very important to me that daily my kids hear, I love you. I'm always going to love you no matter what you do. Like, as an adoptive parent, like, it's important my kids know that my love's unconditional. Like, that scene really tugged me, like, really worked for me. I enjoyed that scene quite a bit. My favorite.
What do you mean
that
they thought was from their dad?
The mom did all the clues. The dad did the clues.
No, the dad wrote the clues. She put the clues out there.
Oh, she was saying she was trying to stay a step ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was hiding the clues.
So he wrote the clues.
That's how I understood it.
I understood it. She did it all. She wrote them and everything.
I thought the mom did it all.
Yeah, really? She did it all. Yes.
But the clues were very, like, they were dad's clues.
She was trying to recreate the experience they had as children. He didn't write a bunch of clues and go, pass these on. He didn't know that the mom did all of this and making them think that dad did one last thing.
Wow, that actually takes a lot from this movie for me.
Yeah.
Because I really understood it as dad did this.
No.
And hey, when they get back together, do this one last time. Why could he not do one last, write one more?
She said, you've been doing all this, haven't you? And she goes, yeah. Like, yeah, it's been
but hard. The only thing that was up for question was who was putting the, who was hiding the clues.
Never once does it say he put all this actually together. Like, they never say that in the movie.
I mean, Brandon, you don't think those clues were sitting there hidden for
No.
He thinks that they...
Because the whole movie, they're trying to figure out who's hiding the clues because they're just showing up. Like, right. And so they were like, hey, do you think Dylan's doing this whatever his name is? Liam.
Yeah.
Liam.
But also they're not.
Don't talk about Dylan. Yeah. We don't talk about.
Listen, I was under the impression the whole movie, the mom did it all. That is my impression.
We might have to take it to the tape.
The chat seems to be split. There's some people that are with me. There's some people that are with you.
I don't think. And here's why both sides can be right is because I don't think it ever is explicitly said one way or the other.
I think the whole thing, like the why I would think that it was the way that I thought it was is because the whole movie, you're under the impression that dad did write these clues. And so when mom says, when she says you were behind this or whatever, I just took it as she was.
I took it as mom finally gets her kids home for the first time in over a decade. And so she wants to do this to honor the dad. They've not been home since dad was dead.
Man, this is a real.
It's a real barn burner.
This is a real. We need somebody to let us know. Hey, let's take one more quick break.
All right,
fair enough. And we'll come back and we'll do the way what's in the what the Hallmark's here on. Thank the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. We're talking every time a bell rings on the Hallmark movies and now. I think we're officially in the and now section.
That's right.
It's time for the Wait What's. It's where we talk about what this movie made us go, wait what? And I'll start with you, Alonzo.
Yeah, I think the big 800-pound wait what of this movie is the whole thing with the bio mom. Not that she exists, but the fact that the daughter like won't talk about it, like tries to keep it a secret, makes kind of halves these plans to spend Christmas with her. It's like, you're at home for Christmas for the first time in years and you're mending fences with your siblings and your mom is glad to see you. You're not just going to be all like, bye on Christmas Day when that rolls around. So none of that rang true to me. And that kind of was annoying to me because I thought so much of the rest of the film felt emotionally accurate in the ways that it was trying to do. That's the big one for me. I mean, the rest of it is, yeah, the mechanics of the scavenger hunt and who's responsible.
Yeah, clearly what the hallmark for the ages there.
Yes, a mystery for all of us to decode. But yeah, that was the one biggie for me.
Man, I'm still just wrapping my head around that. guys, I know that we're dealing with a wooden bell here, but I was very underwhelmed by the sound that bell made.
How does a wooden bell ring? I don't know
how it does. I don't know how it does.
The stem is wooden, and then the bell part is actually metal.
The bell looks pretty darn wooden to me.
Out of a magnolia tree.
Yeah.
How does that bell ring?
Unless you have some sort of... But either way, it's this bell. The whole thing, your whole lesson is every time a bell rings type thing. And you ring that bell, and it's just kind of like, dang, 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 dang. It was such a sad bell. No angels getting its wings with that bell. That's like, is that ringing? Yeah. I don't know.
Wings keep half sprouting and going back in.
What
the heck, Carl?
It's wooden. It's wooden. Come on. No,
keep going. That's magnolia tree. That doesn't count.
Yeah. I found it weird. I listen, shout out to my guy who... He just wants some kids in his life. He's going to go take a walk. It's a weird place to go. It's a weird place to go when you're pondering life without children, to go sit right in front of Santa Claus and watch children sit on his lap. That's a weird place to go to. It's a weird place to go to.
Yep.
It's a weird place
maybe
to
he figured that, that kids, you know, cry and freak out and throw up on Santa's lap, and they'd be like, okay, I don't want any of that.
This is a good place to go to get out of...
to remind myself why kids might not be such a great idea.
Yeah, well, just come over to my house. come over to play dates with old Brain and Dan. You'll be talking to Evan pretty quick.
Yep, no kidding. You get our three boys together that are 4 or 5 years old, look out.
It's a lot of fun. Yep. And there was a Christmas caroling event is what they called it, but it was more of a concert.
A concert.
But yes. It was also, yes. I don't, the one, the lips was no. Once again bad. I don't know. This was the year of bad lip syncing, and I don't know what was the problem this year with it, but this was just another good example of bad putting that together. The song was really nice. I think Wes actually wrote that song from what I saw on the internet machine. So good for him. But it was a weird caroling concert thing that I just couldn't really wrap my mind around. Dan?
This bell that has been carved out of a magnolia tree was passed down from their great-grandfather. So their father's grandfather. And they hide it in public every year. It's a family heirloom and they hide the freaking bell. It just takes one kid climbing a tree to be like, hey, it's a bell, and your whole thing is ruined. Just give the clues and ring the bell at the end. We shouldn't be hiding family heirlooms out in public, right?
Wasn't that the thing in A Cheerful Christmas where like every year they put grandpa's hat on the snowman or whatever? Like come on, lose that hat.
At least we know it's on a snowman. This bell could be anywhere, which does lead me to my next one, which is they find it in the oak tree, which is the same place they found it at when they were like, what, 9 or 10 years old? Mm-hmm. And they're like, honestly, we should have checked here to begin with. Has he been hiding it there every year? Does he hide it in the tree every year? Because they played it through high school. Is he just like, they'll never see it coming 8 years in a row?
It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Well, if the bell's a family heirloom, you better believe it's about the destination, Alonzo. Gee.
But yeah. You don't hide the bell. Like, this seems to be... The bell hasn't been there all week, right? Like, this is clearly a day by day.
You're leaving a bell out there all day.
Yeah, it's you got to make sure this is not a windy day. There's a lot that could go wrong.
Oh, well, we were trying to have a game fun time, but the great grandpa's heirloom just floated. It's gone.
And I'll be honest, Mom.
Nothing we could do.
Mom, you're of the age where you should not be trying to hide bells up in a tree.
No. But I will say this, that hiding spot is not nearly as tall as it was when they were children. No one needs a boost to reach that. All three of those women can reach that easily without a boost. No problem at all, but they give her one anyway. God bless them for doing that.
For all time's sake.
Is it Allie Liebert or Liebert? Allie
Liebert, I think.
Liebert's character is out with the daughter that's not Erin Cahill, the one that is the running the small business.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the check comes... And girl goes, let me get this. And Allie's like, no. Just because I'm unemployed doesn't mean I'm broke. All right. First of all, sick flex. Second of all, one of you makes a good deal of money, as we understand it. The other doesn't have a job. Like, it would, if you're sisters, it's just like, it's unwritten that the girl with the job is paying. Right? Right? Like,
yeah.
I think if you're going for coffee, you can do the flex. And then when you're out for like an actual meal and, you know, you've added a lobster tail to your entree, then you're like, oh, no, by all means.
It's just a very weird thing to be like, hey, I'm unemployed, but I can cover this $9 piece of cobbler. Like, don't worry. Like, it was just weird to me.
The rest is still unwritten.
Speaking of dessert, since we're here.
Sure.
Can we talk about the Rob special?
Yeah, the Rob special.
The Rob special is just the mud pie with an extra scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not special. not special. No. And not only that, I saw the Rob special. If that's extra ice cream, I want my money back. What's regular ice cream? What, like a teaspoon? There was no ice cream. You in Mississippi, you can't even look people in the eye if you give that out and say it's double ice cream. You can't sleep at night. No, absolutely not. Won't stand for it. Rob special. Get out of here.
Hey guys. It's going to blow your freaking mind. Do you guys know the mud pie? Picture this if you can even feasibly picture this in your little minds. An extra scoop.
I call it the Rob special.
TM.
What are we doing? There's the weirdest scene in this movie, no questions asked. The weirdest scene in this movie, and I don't know who they thought they were fooling. I think they thought, we've got so much plot in this movie, we'll slip this in here and nobody will notice it. But don't worry, old Dan's on the case. Wes Brown is doing the lights at his dad's house.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing it as a surprise because of some reason. Uh-huh. I don't know why. But the dad doesn't want him to know. And his dad comes home early because he's a bad poker player. And he's like, quick, let's hide. So are we to believe that this guy gets home and doesn't notice the ladder, the lights, or the giant children's bike laying in the front yard? What the Hades kind of surprise is this? This is not a surprise. Yeah. No one is fooled. Why are we hiding? It was one of the dumbest scenes I've ever seen. I rewound it and I was like, did I miss something here? Does the dad not know the son's in town? Nope. He just thinks he's going to walk straight by a ladder, unplugged in lights and a children's bike and not ask any questions.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks he's going to do. I think that's all I've got. Yeah.
Let's get to what the Hallmark is part of the show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe haven't given some clarity to the questions that we still have, Alonzo.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell people in the chat that the plot synopsis may say that the dad organized one last scavenger hunt, but that's because it's meant to be a twist when the mom says that
that's right. Yes, I agree with that.
So let's not all quote that as like, as that's your proof. That's
no, I agree with everything.
The court of Hallmark. No,
that's right.
Anyway, my way was, I really want to know more about Ali Liebert's board game cafe and why it failed, because I've actually been to one here and I find them really entertaining.
Well, you're in Los Angeles and they're in Natchez, Mississippi.
There is that, yes. But still, it seems to me like the kind of thing that they could have made it work somehow. But I want more detail about that. And then, you know, basically, I think my other question is like, has middle sister managed to put a nail in this childbirth thing, or is this the thing that's going to just sort of like cyclically come up again? Like, what about now? Have you changed your mind? What about you think about now? Huh? What about you think now? What about, 'cause it's been a year. Maybe now?
Every Christmas. Every Christmas, we're going to go sit by Santa.
And it's like the bassinet is a coffee table. Like she's put a board over it. And she's just got
magazines.
Oh, you're red. Well, I've got some news.
Listen, it's too nice to put to waste. You got to do something with that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Sure.
So when my guy, Wes Brown, goes to pick up, what's her name? At the bus, he has Cahill. Aaron Cahill. I was looking for a character, but yes, I said Wes Brown, so I can see how we got there.
Let's call them all Tammy, all three sisters.
Charlotte. So Charlotte comes, and her name, he's got her name written on a piece of paper in his guitar thing.
Yeah. Right?
Fast forward a week, and at the very end of this movie, she comes walking up to him, and he is playing his guitar outside. This was not a planned meetup. And he has his guitar case open. The piece of paper is still in it with her name on it. And I just want to know, has it always been there? Is it always going to be there? Is this just a thing that for the rest of time, anytime he goes somewhere,
he opens it up
and there's her name?
This might be, and I hate to spoil movie magic,
no,
they may have filmed those two scenes on the same day.
No,
shut up. Y'all will appreciate this because the outfit that Wes Brown wears when his band performs, Dave kept referring to him as Hillsong Hat Guy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Yeah, Mumford and Sons was proud.
Yeah,
they were like, hey, people are still dressing like that, huh?
That's who's doing it. My What the Hallmark may have an answer, but I couldn't find one, and so I'm asking you to. The girl that Ali Liebert's character meets and starts dating in the film.
Yes.
Why are her and her mother in Natchez, Mississippi for Christmas touring the town? They're just two tourists coming to Natchez, Mississippi for Christmas?
They wanted a really good board game cafe.
They heard about the Rob special.
They
can't get that extra scoop in their town in Mississippi. I was trying to wrap my brain around, she has this meet cute and it's wonderful. Why does this girl and her mom go, what should we do for Christmas this year? Well, what's more festive than Natchez, Mississippi? Do we know anybody? No, but we got to go. We got to go. That's weird, right?
I hear there's a riverboat.
So, Mom, I was on the secret menu subreddit. And someone posted about a mud pie.
You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe
with
it.
With an extra scoop.
It's crazy. Got to go get the Rob special.
We got to go. Where is it?
Natchez, Mississippi.
Okay.
We were going to go see the Rockefeller tree, but you know what? Natchez, Mississippi.
Rob special.
My heart goes out to the person who did the closed captioning for this movie, who had to figure out how to spell Chris Mississippi Mud Pie.
Oh,
yeah, that's a lot to take in.
That's a lot. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Christmas is officially over until Monday when Alonzo and I pick it right back up.
That's right.
The way God intended it. We will have our rankings, our ratings, whatever you want to call them, up at some point. We will do that episode. It's going to be exclusive
for Bramble Jam Plus.
That's right. So you won't want to miss that. Alonzo, good to see you, buddy.
Always a pleasure, sir.
And until next time, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.